Enthusiasms. What are mine? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy? Baseball! A man stands alone. This is a time for what? Individual achievement. There he stands alone. But in the field, what? Part of a
team.
Team! Part of one big team. Bats, throws, catches. Bats himself to live long day. Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, and so on. If he don't field, what is he?
Nobody.
Right. Sunny day, the stands are full of fans. What does he have to say? I'm going out there for myself. But I get nowhere unless the team wins. Team! Right. Welcome to the team. Nick DeToro, Chris Dickerson, Ivory Baseball, our latest episode. Coming to the halfway point. Here we are. Midsummer Classic, San Diego. But what's on my mind is Chris has played for a number of teams. 5, 6, 7. What is it, Chris?
I don't know. Let's just say 6.
6 teams. So, you know, even when you think about a guy that's played on a lot of teams, he's played with a lot of great guys. He's played with guys that he likes, he doesn't like. We don't have to get into who he doesn't like, but let's start at the beginning. The Cincinnati Reds with Chris Dickerson. That's his first team. He came up through the minors, came up with Joey Votto. What I want to know is, you know, who did he like? Who did he really love playing with? Who was a character? Who stood out? You know, take us back. 2007. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, the Cincinnati Reds.
No, I mean, well, the thing about that is,
what was that team?
You come up with these guys, so it's, you know, you're all a bunch of kids on that, you know, rookies on that team. So, you know, me, Hannigan and I played since A-ball, Joey since 2003. And then through there, you know, you get that core of guys that moves up through the system together. And, you know, you guys all get to the big league. So it's a kind of a special thing where you guys are all, you know, on the bus, down in the dumps, you know, just grinding it out. So I think just that in itself kind of makes you closer with the guys. But I will say that Joey was definitely one of my favorite characters because he was a young kid. So between him and Jay, you know, they're coming at 18 years old, you know, and you play with them for 6, 7 years. It's like you literally watch them grow. And so, you know, Joey just coming from Canada and just kind of felt like he wasn't all there. But watching him kind of evolved as a person, as a player.
Wasn't all there, like, man, what, mentally?
No, just, you know, just the naive, I guess. Just the, yeah.
Innocent?
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, didn't go out, didn't drink, didn't do anything like
clean
that.
Clean cut, huh?
For sure. Definitely a clean cut
Canadian
guy.
Canadian boy from where in Canada?
Brampton, Ontario, I believe.
Italian,
so I think,
right?
It was like 30 minutes outside of Toronto.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, you could tell he was a special talent. He had one thing on his mind was baseball, and so. But yeah, but you know, you go through, you play with a guy for so long, especially a kid that young, especially coming out of high school, and just watch him go through that, you know, that college phase when you're in A ball and you know, going out, kind of partying. But
were you guys roommates?
No. No, we were never roommates.
But you guys connected as friends.
Hannigan and I were roommate for like 5 years.
Was Hannigan a catcher?
A-ball, yeah. A-ball, double A. Yeah, I met Hannigan way back in the day. We were in the Cape Cod League together. And so, you know, somehow, you know,
Cape
we ended
Cod.
Up. Cape Cod. That, now
is that,
that
a good league?
Man, that's a. I still think that's the most fun I've ever had playing baseball.
Why is that? Just as of the spirit of it?
Yeah, the spirit of it, you're out there with, like, you know, the top college guys in the country. You're out there on, you know, base, what essentially is a, you might as well just call it an island. You know, you're surrounded by water, you're living with a host family, usually in a pretty nice house. Cross your fingers that you get to, you know, stay in, like, a Chatham or something like that, but.
Oh, so yeah, you live with a family?
Yeah, everybody lives with a family. Everybody lives with a host family. That's, like, the big thing up there is, like, everybody wants to kind of, like, you know, take these, you know, these college kids, these elite college kids.
Is that like a single A or I mean, what is that like?
No, I would say it was probably comparable to rookie ball.
Oh, rookie ball.
Looking bad, I mean, you know, wood bats with these guys, you know, the elite pitchers and players in college baseball. you know, go out there, play baseball for a little bit, and then you go back out, hang out on the beach, go, you know, run around the town, do whatever.
Nice.
But it was only till I got there, and I got probably 2 or 3 weeks into the Cape Cod season, or Cape Cod season, I realized how bad of a movie, wow, what is that movie with,
A Bull Durham?
No. The one that, about Cape Cod, the Cape Cod League with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, that's
Summer
a bad
catch.
That's a bad one.
Oh, it's horrible.
But that's what it's based on?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. A Summer Catch was about the Cape Cod
Maybe they didn't execute it right.
No, there's no way around it. It's just like every other baseball movie where you get these actors who have never touched a baseball in their life and you try to teach them how to throw,
right,
and it just looks completely unnatural.
I saw something like this, but I think I saw a documentary on these Dominican kids that played in the Kansas City Royals organization and lived with families and stuff, and they were trying to make it to the big leagues. But that wasn't the Cape Cod League, but that same kind of idea.
Yeah, no, this was a straight fictional movie. This was like a Hollywood type movie. You're thinking of Sugar and
that's what I'm thinking
and
of.
Penn,
Sugar
and Pelotero.
I like Sugar.
Yeah, Sugar and Pelotero. Yeah, which
right.
Is basically like the hoop dreams of baseball.
Right.
You know, taking
that's
two
right.
kids from like the inner city and, you know, following their journey to the pros or whatever.
But the Cape Cod League, you know, they just
a
lot of fun, huh?
Yeah, summer, rich folks everywhere.
Where'd you live?
With the family. I lived in Brewster.
Brewster?
In Brewster.
Brewster, Mass.
Brewster, Mass. In Brewster, Mass.
Was it a big house?
No, it was a pretty big house, you know. It was, it was Cape
Party
Cod.
Party people, right?
It was Cape Cod, Party so you know people. You couldn't get that mad. And, and
you like your chowder?
You always had, no, the thing about Cape Cod, you always bank on somebody else having a better house than you. Somebody that's on the water where you could use the family's boat every day, go barbecue.
Well, how do you find where you're going to live? Would you have to, like, you go look around or do people come
looking?
Completely
random.
It's random?
Completely random. Be like, hey,
do you have to pay them?
No.
Oh, they just take you in.
That's a part of it.
For the summer.
Yeah, for the summer. That's part of the culture. It's like you get a host family. You're taking this kid from so-and-so. He's from Oklahoma State. He's staying with you for the summer.
All
right.
So cool. Why do they call it the Cape Cod League? It's just all the teams are in the Cape?
Yep. Yep.
How'd you wind up there?
Brewster, Wareham. Hyannis, Chatham.
Oh, I like all those towns.
Yarmouth, Dennis.
Falmouth.
Harwich.
I was a doorman. I remember all those towns.
Yeah, Harwich, Catuit, and then we go up to Boston.
Was that one summer?
No, yeah, it was one summer. You know, go up to Boston, park the car and have it yard. Go to the Sox game. Boy, they're terrible.
You did terrible?
Terrible. It's the most fun I've ever had playing baseball. It was terrible. I think I hit like 130.
Why?
I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where you know, there's a full rotation. You don't play every day. You know, just, you know, typical stuff. I don't know. Can't tell you.
Can't
I
put
just
your hand
cannot.
Up.
Yeah, I can't.
But you had a glorious
hand,
time.
Yeah,
well, what was the family saying? The people you lived with? You can't remember them?
Oh, man, I can't remember.
Irish? That had to be Irish. Everybody's Irish. There's some Italians there.
But she was they were the head of basically...
They cooked for you?
Placing everyone. No, they never cooked. The only time they cooked is if you hit a home run. If you hit a home run, they make you a steak dinner. Other than that, it was like you're kind of...
So what'd you have? You have a room? Basically. Like a little room?
Yeah. Oh, I shared a room with, their son.
Oh.
Either that or I couched it. So it was,
That's
was
great.
Yeah.
That should have been like a doc. I mean, yeah, too bad you couldn't have filmed that. So that movie, that was a bad movie,
yeah.
Freddie Prinze.
Yeah,
they didn't capture
that. No car. That's how I met Mike Aviles. Is he lived around the corner, and he was my carpool buddy. You know,
Mike Aviles.
New York guy.
Newark.
Yeah.
So coming up with Hannigan, Joey Votto, that is special, because the people you come up with, you always remember them. I mean, even guys I worked with at the beginning, even as an actor, you know, you remember those guys in the trenches, because that's where you made your bones. But Votto, he was a great guy, and you
great
knew
guy.
He was going to be
still
a star, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing, like, you look back and you hear about the progression of certain players, is that, you know, some guys, people knew it, you know, that's a certain sound off the bat.
Yeah.
And there was just a certain sound that Joey had. He had a certain approach to the way he carried himself. Like, you knew
he was going to be. Do you think he's reached his potential? Or do you think he's kind of,
I think he's I think he's digressing from his potential.
Yeah, what happened?
I think.
Why is that? Because
I think lately, from what I see, I think with the, you know, I think he's really concerned about with contact and choking up. I think that's
why did he get so thin?
I don't know that.
I don't understand that. Like he got so
losing the weight and the tight uniform, the choking up on the back.
He's like my brother or something. He wants to be super skinny. I just don't understand why he's so intent on being thin. I don't know. He's not on screen or something.
No, you know, Joey decides what he wants to do, and
I want to be
and
fat.
He goes for it. You know, he wants to, you know, change his diet at the drop of a hat. You know, wants to change his approach, drop of the hat. You know, wants to wear a tighter uniform, drop of the hat.
Yeah.
Just whatever he's feeling.
Wants to look good in those clothes,
yeah.
Man.
Hey, you know.
Well, how tall is he? Like what?
6'3".
So he's as tall as you?
Yeah. He's a big dude, but he's a big dude, and he works his ass off.
Yeah,
that's
but you're
for sure.
way more muscular.
Yeah. Well, like I said, he's lost about 15 pounds.
That choking up.
Know.
What's
yeah.
with the choking
Two
up?
Strikes. I mean, he's like halfway up the bat. Like
I know.
Pete Rose style these days.
Yeah.
And just, you know, very defensive swings, but I think that's,
see anybody choking up anymore.
Yeah, I think the only another person that does it is Rizzo, but Rizzo, I don't think he looks so conservative in two strikes. I think Joey's just trying to put the ball in play somewhere, and I think that's kind of attributed to that.
There was rumors that he was talking about retiring or something. I was like, why?
No,
has he lost his love for the game?
That was blown completely out of proportion because I was in Cincinnati right before that, and I for an event for my nonprofit. And I remember talking to Jay about it, and he's just like, you know how it is here.
Jay Bruce.
Yeah, everybody kind
good dude.
Blows, great dude.
One of your favorite guys?
Great dude.
Good hitter, too.
Great dude.
I'd love to see him in the Bronx.
Way. He's got
to
start going the other way, though.
He's too pull happy, right?
He's gotten way too pull happy from a guy who is one of the best hitters I've ever seen. I mean, all fields. I mean, it was impressive. Talk about like a phenom. That was my first experience.
When you can do that, then how come these guys don't use the whole field?
I don't
understand. They got the ability, right?
100%. But Jay was the first phenom. Like, I think that was the first phenom that I've ever come in contact with.
More than even Votto? Yeah.
Man, Jay was amazing.
What, just like raw talent?
Raw talent, just raw talent, strength.
When you see that,
it didn't matter. Curveball, changeup, everything. His approach was so mature. And the power for such a young age was crazy. So always talking about like phenoms.
How come you think it hasn't like paid off the way he's become like a super? I mean, he has that. I know he's got the talent. He's a great hitter. But what is it? What is it that you know separates from like the good from the great? I talk about that like in acting. Consistency. Yeah.
Consistency.
Yeah. I get it. No, I mean because it's a grind, man. 162 games. I mean, it's a marathon.
Consistency.
And also
a lot of that is just like, yeah, I mean, your boy said it best, Yogi said it best, baseball is 90% mental.
Yeah, no, I know.
It is.
Even as a fan, when you're watching it, you feel things mentally.
Yeah, you are
mental. You can feel the vibe.
You are mental.
I know.
Period. I saw what happened that Didi Gregorius home run.
You were watching me in action, right?
Legitimate mental over Yankee baseball, and I appreciate that because, you know, you remind me of a Barclays Premier League soccer fan or English soccer
well,
fan.
Well, I have no agenda. I just pure passion. This is like, you know, 40 years of watching games like that. So this is just, you know, when I'm watching it, it makes me very happy to see a guy win in a bat like that, especially against a tough guy named Salazar. And he almost gave up a home run that was a little 2 inches foul. So and we're just watching a Yankee-Indian game right now, me and Chris. So, you know, Chris saw me in action a little bit. That's mild. You haven't really seen me like in a
full meltdown,
a war zone. It's ugly. That's why I don't like to be out in public. I have to be kind of in my chair and just, you know, because I might offend somebody.
One day, we're going to get that sound effect.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah. That would be great.
When you lose, we're going to get that sound effect going.
I'll show you, like, the MLB show I did one time.
Fanatic meltdown.
They were like, when are you going to yell? They were filming me watch a Yankee-Red Sox game back in 2009, and they said, when are you going to yell? I said, I have to have a reason to yell. And then Girardi brought in Phil Koch, and I blew up over Victor Martinez, and then Martinez went yard. It was just a feeling I had. Then I met Phil Koch, and then I told Phil, I was yelling at you, cursing you out and all this, and he was like, you were mad. How do you think I felt? And we became buddies. So it's just in the heat of the battle. That's what people don't understand about when you're upset. You're just in the moment as a baseball fan, as a a hardcore fan, you understand where you're coming from because you're thinking 2, 3, 4 steps ahead. And I'm always pessimistic. I'm like, oh my God, the count is bad. What's the count? Who's up? This is bad. You know, we're going to get hurt here. So you just go with that. Anyway, Hannigan, all right, Votto, Jay Bruce, these were great guys on the Reds. All right, next stop. What's the next stop? Where'd you go?
Milwaukee.
Bruce. I love the Bruce.
That was the worst.
Bruce crew. Yeah. You didn't have a good.
No, it was just a weird. Yeah, I had the hand and wrist surgery.
Okay.
And that was supposed.
What
to
year
be,
was that?
That was supposed to be a big year for me. 2010. I had the hand and wrist surgery. It broke my hamate bone in Houston, and so had to rehab that surgery on my wrist, hand. That took 2.5 months.
That's went what really
rehab,
hurt you.
Went to rehab. You know, went to rehab, did that whole thing, and was on fire. My grandmother passed away, went to New York for a week, didn't touch a baseball or a bat for a week, and then, you know, got traded.
When did you hurt the hand?
I hurt the hand in May. In May, and I didn't come back into action until July. But I was out a good 2.5 months.
Were you starting?
Yeah, I started opening day that year. Yeah, opening day started.
Did you guys center. Have a good squad that year, 2010?
No, so-so. So-so. Yeah, I think Drew and I were still platooning at the time.
Who was your manager back then?
Dusty.
Dusty. Not bad.
Yeah, Dusty. So, yeah, got traded. I was literally just getting out. Well, not just getting out of my...
Miller Park?
But I was in, yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
Good place?
Yeah.
Good town, right? Wisconsin?
Yeah, baseball. Yeah, they love...
They love there.
They love baseball and they love,
I still see
they
the
love tailgating.
I still see the Brewers as an American League team. Because I grew up in the same way older than you. And I just, Robin Yount, you know, Jim Gant, all these guys, Cecil Cooper, way before your time. But I just see the Brewers as American League team. It's weird, you know, the Brew crew over there. Who'd you play with? Braun and those guys?
Yeah, Braun, Prince, Ricky.
You know Braun from the Valley?
I know Braun from the Valley. So he's the one who called me and told me. I was in New York for my grandmother's funeral, and he called me and told me, he was like, hey, word on the street is, you know, I'm sitting next to Edmonds, word on the street is, you're coming here. I'm like,
oh,
you
told
serious?
Me
like,
this,
I'm
yeah.
gonna, you serious? I'm going to get traded? Like, I haven't touched a baseball in a week, and my grandmother just passed away, so.
Who'd they trade you
I'm about
for?
To get Edmonds.
Oh, Jim Edmonds?
Yeah, so he's on the phone, and Edmonds is right next to him. He's like, hey, my agent is, you know, this is what's going down. I was like, I haven't heard anything. I've heard nothing. And
so
sure
Edmonds
enough,
went to the Reds?
Yeah.
That's pretty flattering. Edmonds was, I mean, he's probably at the tail end of his
career. Tail end of his career. Yeah.
But still, it's Jim Edmonds.
That. Yeah, one of my favorites of all time.
Is he a Valley kid?
No.
California?
Jimmy's one of my favorite guys of all time.
One of the greatest defensive center. I mean, I saw him make catches out in Anaheim that I wanted to, you know, kill him. I was just so angry with him because he was so good, so fluid. He made it. He was incredible. I mean, they talk about Willie Mays, but this guy's catches were insane.
Yeah,
he was
an incredible.
What was it? Just a jump on the ball, the knack he had.
Literally, if you watch him shag within the first millisecond of that ball is hit, he knows exactly where that ball is going to land. It's amazing. Like his routes were so direct, and he was so efficient in his route running, and his angles that it was. Dude, it was amazing. And then eventually he started losing a step.
I mean,
but he was the best at doctoring up diving catches.
Incredible.
He would slow down one or two steps, and he would make the routine into the spectacular.
He's got to be in my top five defensive center fielders that I have seen, that I saw. I mean, of course, Willie is probably in there, Willie Mays. But, man, Edmonds is insane.
Junior, Jimmy, Andrew.
You know who's great before your time? Not as flashy. I'm going to tell you, a guy in the 70s was phenomenal. But he was smooth. Paul Blair.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Blair was great, Chris.
I ran into Devon White a couple weeks ago.
He's pretty darn good, too.
He was legit.
And then back in the day, way before our time, Joe D, everybody said, just made it look easy. You know, I mean, I wasn't around then, but my God, they just said he never. Tommy Lasorda told me he never dove for a ball. He never dove for Tommy Lasorda, old tiny tough guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Did he spit in your face?
Kind of like me.
Almost spit out everywhere.
Man,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
It's like every time you talk to Tom, you got to have like a windshield wiper.
I sang the national anthem years ago in San Diego as a young kid. And then he invites me to his office. He's on the phone with his wife. He's like, hold on.
Wait, you sung that national anthem as a young kid?
Well, I'm not a young kid. I was like on NYPD Blue, and then I sing. And then they let me sing at Jack Murphy Stadium. Then he goes, oh, he's Italian. Tell him I want to meet him after the game. I'm in his office. He goes, shut the door. I got to talk to my wife. Shut the door, would you? And I'm like, it was hilarious. I'm like, he's talking to his wife. It was surreal. Like, here I am. I'm a Yankee fan. I rooted against him in the 70s when he was the manager of the Dodgers with Garvey and Yeager and all these guys. And here I am with Lasorda talking to his wife.
We got sharing a veal parmesan.
Yeah, sharing some veal parmesan, eggplant. And I'm like, and he goes, hold on, I want to talk to this kid a little bit. So then I give him my cell phone. I had some kind of funny message one time, and he calls me. He goes, is this Nick? What kind of crap message is this? You call me, and then I don't even know if this is you. He was like angry. I was like, oh my God, Lasorda's pissed off at me. And then I met him a few years ago, and he was like, I was talking to him about trying to do a documentary. He goes, who are you? What's your name? And he's like half, you know, he doesn't remember anything. I said, I met you a long time ago, Tommy. We sang and we ate Parmesan and all this stuff. But
yeah, that's what. I see Tommy and I do the same thing.
He's great. Like,
I know he
he's
is.
Great.
He's liable.
I mean, have you ever heard, my father was a classic, you know, this is a PG show. But my father could curse like with the best of them. When I heard this thing from Dodger Blues, when he's on the mound with Steve Howe, Doug Rau, 77, and he dropped about 55 F-bombs, but in a very brilliant way. The way he cursed was poetic. Oh, and you have to listen to this. I'll let you hear it. It's hysterical. It makes me like, you know, I fall over, die laughing, but, you know, the guy was crazy, but that was a different time. I don't know who mic'd him. And he's out. They sound like Joe Pesci out there. I'm the manager. I gotta let you hear it. It's just unbelievable. But that's another story for another day. All right. So we got the Brew Crew. We got the Reds. Who's next? The Yankees or the Orioles? Yankees, right?
We got the Yankees.
Yeah. How'd you wind up in New York with my team?
Curtis went down with an oblique injury, and
at the beginning, I was yelling, going, "Who is this Chris Dickerson? This guy's a stiff." And then I started liking you. I started saying, this kid's not bad. As soon as they gave him a chance to play, I said, he's not bad. And then, boom, you were gone the next year. And then I found out you were a Valley boy because I live in the Valley and Notre Dame and all this stuff. So how'd you get there?
Yeah. I can't even remember the guy I was traded for. It was just terrible. Sergio...
Mitro?
Yes.
Mitro.
Sergio Mitro.
Yeah.
Yes.
My memory was baseball. I remember nothing in life. All I remember is baseball.
Yeah, there you go. Surplus for surplus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Curtis went down. I was going there.
I'm telling you, like, but all right, honestly, I started liking you, and you had a good swing, and I said, this kid can play. You know, you see small samples of your guy, and you're like, I don't know if this guy is. And then all of a sudden, you got a little playing time. I don't know why. Maybe somebody got hurt. And you started, you know, driving a ball, pulling the ball. You were good, good player. I said, this guy's not bad. And then, boom, you were gone. But who did you like playing for, you know, on the Yankees?
Obviously, Jeter's the pinnacle of...
Are you guys friends?
The dude of the...
He take you in? Like, is he like the Godfather?
No, he really
Come
is.
Come on, is he like Don Corleone?
That's the thing.
Were you a little starstruck when you met him?
No, because I came up with the Reds in Florida, so my big league camps were... We played against the Yankees, so, you know... Seeing him during pregame warm-up, seeing him at second base, whatever, you know, and that's like that is one of his signatures is like how nice he is to young guys at second base.
What does he say?
He just comes over, hey man, you know, just whatever. It's unbelievable. He's just, hey man, hey, you know, hey, way to swing it, whatever it is.
You feel like you arrived.
And you feel like, oh my God, you feel like I never make it, like Derek
Jeter. You feel
like
you're accepted. I remember Burt Reynolds hit me in the longest shot. I was like, hey, Bert, Uncle Bert. He goes, why you call me Uncle Bert? I go, hey, you remind me of my tough uncle. He goes, you're all right, kid. You got it. Some guys don't. He goes, you got it. And I was like, Bert Reynolds, movie star. I said, I got it. So that's how you feel, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, he's the Godfather. Kind of just...
He's just so cool, right?
He's a cool cat, man. And then, my locker was next to him during spring training, and all it was a trash can separating us, and I, you know, still starstruck. I've, you know, seen him a million times, played against him, you know, spring training, whatever, but actually him getting up and then coming to introduce himself like I didn't already know who he was hilarious to me. But that kind of basically put the stamp of approval.
And all his players, all players like love the guy, right? I mean, across the board, right?
Yeah.
He comes across really genuine.
Yeah, he's just super cool. I mean, he's a calm, collected guy, which is his demeanor basically. Like everything you see in the playoffs, you know, under pressure, how he stays calm. That's just his demeanor.
I think his demeanor is kind of like what made him almost. I mean, he's talented.
Yeah.
And did a lot of things, a lot of intangibles, but just that demeanor, how he kept it even keel.
Yeah, man.
You know, I mean, that's
impressive.
It's impressive, right?
Yeah, but man, that whole team was awesome.
Even when he argued, it was like a half, like he would never lose it. I never saw him lose it.
He was like deliberating. It wasn't an argument.
But I'll tell you,
deliberation.
He kind of reminded me of an old school wise guy, because if you cross him, you know, he's like an old mafia guy. You don't want to cross a guy like that. You know, what do you think? You think I'm right about that? He like quietly, like if he gets mad, you don't want to get him mad, right? Because I mean,
you're out.
Out of the club. You're out of the family.
Out of the family. Out of the family.
Jeets. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, CeCe.
Like CeCe, right?
Love CeCe. I love CeCe. He's a big teddy. He's a big teddy bear.
Teddy bear,
big
right?
Teddy bear. Brett Gardner. I love Gardner because we came up
again. I like
again,
Gardner. I like Gardner.
The minor leagues. Arizona Fall League.
Plays hard.
Swisher. Russell.
Martin.
Yeah.
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 That's a good team.
That was a good squad. I really love that team. AJ Burnett.
You on that? That's
AJ's a great dude.
I liked AJ.
AJ.
He was a fan of mine. I met him at Dodger Stadium. He went nuts. He was on the Blue Jays then. He met me. He went crazy. He's telling Holiday, everybody about me. I was like, this freaking AJ Burnett's crazy about me.
Yeah. AJ's great. Yeah. He's a genuine dude.
My brother goes,
genuine dude.
You know what would be a
like
good actor? He goes, AJ Burnett. He goes, he'd definitely be good in a Western. I go, you might be right. Because we were trying to talk about ball players that could act.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought AJ had like some you know, attributes that might make like a good actor. You know, because he's like kind of like, he's quietly but a character. He's a character
right.
in a very real sense. He comes across real. Because mm-hmm. some guys don't always read real. They don't always read genuine, you know. I mean, baseball players are funny. They're funny. I've been around a lot of baseball players. And some... they're funny people. I don't know. It's an odd sport, you know. But
right.
there's a lot of cool guys, and there's a lot of oddballs.
Yeah, Andrew, another one. One of the best. One of the funniest.
Where's
characters.
Where's he from? Curacao.
Yeah, one of the biggest characters.
Still, what I remember about him is that he comes up as a rookie in '96.
Oh yeah,
I'm at game. No, I was fuming about this guy. I couldn't. I'm at the game. Game one, we got embarrassed like 12-1, 14-1 with the cast of NYPD Blue. I'm like, who is Andrew Jones? Who is this guy? Well, all of a sudden, some phenom comes out of nowhere. He had me in a rage, this guy. And then I wound up, you know, liking the guy because he was a Yankee and stuff like that. But we got him at the tail end. We got him, but he was a good player.
Still great.
Great
He's
player.
Still a great dude.
Yeah.
Great teammate. Great. Unbelievable.
Great. All right, so after the Yankees, then what, the Orioles?
Orioles.
All right.
Which was cool because I just saw them last week. Old Bucky let me under the rope.
You love Adam, being an Oriole.
I really do. It was just like, that group is because by that time I was already in the AL East.
Something about
seen,
the Orioles. That's
the,
cool.
I had seen the process and the building, the, you know, them building. And so, like, you know, by the time I got there, I mean, they were like, you know, they were a team.
They were, yeah, because Showalter knows how to win.
They were a team, and so I got there, and I didn't really know what I was getting into with
Buck. You see Young Machado? Young Machado?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know right away with this guy? Man, he's got talent.
Yeah, man, it's amazing.
He's got talent. Adam Jones, good guy?
Jonesy, Hardy, Chris Davis.
Hardy. See, that's a team you want to root for.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, like,
really
like I have beautiful Oriole caps, jerseys. I can't root for them, really, but that's a team you want. Like,
You really want to.
You don't
want
to root for the Red Sox. You'd
you
rather root for the Orioles.
Because they're home. They're you know, some of their homegrown guys. You got, like, you know, guys like Gausman and, you know, their pitching staff. They're all, you know, they're homegrown guys.
The close is pretty darn good, man.
You know, Wieters.
Wieters, good player.
It's just an interesting
Chris Davis has really loved being an Oriole.
Huh?
That guy was like a bust, and now he became like a, you know, he got second life over there, Chris Davis, huh? Crush Davis? Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just... yeah, I remember the first couple years.
How about Buck?
Man, if I can get a full sentence in here, that would
be
great.
Get in, Chris. You gotta jump in, buddy.
Man, I'm talking. This is
I know,
quit cutting me off.
I know, but you gotta go. You gotta go right on top of me. It's like acting. It's like, you know what I mean? You gotta be on top of me.
Man.
No, it's not. I say a line, you say a line.
I can't even finish my line. Who did you play with? Oh, Chris Davis. Cut.
Chris, go ahead. You have the floor. Go ahead. You have the floor. I'll shut up.
Chris Davis. Yeah. Good coming out story.
Come a little closer, would you, man? I threw him off. I'm talking at the... Because I'm excited. You know what that's called? You know, when you're talking on top of each other, it's like very natural. It's very natural. You can talk on top of me. Don't get annoyed. Just all give right. me a shot. Give me a punch in the face, that's all. All right. This is the comedy, Chris. Comedy
lost
hour.
Lost the train of yeah, thought. What were we talking about? Oh, my teammates. Right.
Yes.
My teammates.
All right. So we have the Reds. We have the Brewers, the Yankees, the Orioles. You love being an Oriole, Buckshaw. What's the last stop?
Toronto, that wasn't even a stop. That
all
was
right.
just a,
well, how
that
about was the Indians? What the Indians?
Oh, right. Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh the next year. Well, Pittsburgh
spring. Give me somebody from
Pittsburgh. Spring training. Right. Another great group. That's another group that you want to, that's fun to root for.
I know
great,
my man.
Great group.
Savelli, that's your
oh,
buddy?
Oh, yeah. That's the guy. That's the glue over there. That's the glue.
Winner,
that
right?
guy, yeah. I mean, you know, from New York, he's as passionate as it gets. You know, Mr. Rico Suave over there. But he gets on the baseball field, he's a completely different person. He goes into like this weird crazy zone.
Ladies
where
like
he's
him?
Just so, I mean, he's a good looking guy. I mean,
he's
there's
handsome.
No, yeah, yeah. He's a handsome man.
Yeah.
Handsome man. Kid, yeah.
Why do you say Rico Suave? He's cool.
No, he's just a cool cat, man.
Yeah. Good guy to hang
yeah,
with?
Yeah, he's, you know, he's, yeah. You know, that's
right, so like,
got the Latin flavor, but,
give me your
yeah.
five, like, top guys to hang
five
with.
Five top. Cervelli's one, yeah. Cervelli
number
one. Curtis.
Granderson? To hang with?
Absolutely. Curtis is...
Cool, huh?
He's black is Obama of baseball.
Right. And
he's
bright?
Usually baseball, yeah.
Okay, so we got Cervelli, Granderson. Is Jeter in there? Or you didn't get to know him that well?
I got to know him, but hanging
right.
with him like
that's
that.
That's a
different,
right. All right.
You know,
so
it's
we got
different
two.
When you're, he's
yeah.
at the uber level. It's like you don't really get to see him
like
come
me.
Out of the
I
shell
can't hang
a
out
little
with
bit. Yeah.
yeah.
You can't just go out to a restaurant and expect him, you know.
Right.
To,
I get
know,
it.
Turn up in the club.
So Cervelli, like Grandy. Give me three more.
One of favorite guys. You know, probably, I mean, it's just kind of like my closest buddies. I mean, Braun is a great dude. He's great to him.
I like Braun.
Great dude.
Great, Ryan Braun. Two more.
But,
Joey Votto?
Two more. I love Joey. Joey's a
you
mystery.
Love Joey.
Joey's a mystery.
He is.
Mystery
he should be
to everybody.
Better.
And it's funny because I just had a conversation with Buck last week when I was on the field, and he was like, I like being mysterious. He's like, something about being mysterious. He's like, everybody thinks I'm an old grumpy asshole, but... But you know, that's not, but Buck is actually one of the funniest dudes you'll ever meet. You get him at a hitter's meeting.
I know.
He's the most unserious person ever. He's always got some crazy,
dry
crazy
humor,
video.
Right?
Dry humor, some crazy video off of some like weird, obscure YouTube channel. Dude, he's hilarious. He's like, sometimes he's like, I'd always tell him just, you know, don't give away too much. I'm like, that's Joey. Like, Joey will straight stone face you. When you get to first base, but you know, if you get to know him, he's a very intelligent dude. But I mean, it's almost self-taught. It's just like this crazy, like self-taught kind of evolution of Joey Votto.
I love that. That might make it like a good documentary we could make, Chris. Like, who's Joey Votto? You know.
He's a mysterious man.
I know,
man.
Mysterious man. The mystery of Joey.
Mysterious man, yeah.
I'm always thinking like, an angle for like a
yeah.
documentary.
Borderline chef, wine tasting
Cervelli.
Expert.
Cervelli, can he cook?
Yeah.
Grandy, Votto, Showalter, Ryan Braun. Oh, this has been fun. This is great. I love this. I'm sorry for talking about that. Sorry for what they call overlapping. I have a hard time listening. And unless I dominate the conversation, you know. But anyway, this has been great. We'll see you guys soon. I'm sorry for talking over Chris's words because I have a big, fat mouth. But we'll get it. We'll get it. Chris has got to understand that, you know, I'm a very emotional guy.
We'll set it over some veal parmesan.
We'll settle it over. We're going to do one over an Italian meal. How about that? We'll do one over an Italian meal. Maybe me, Chris, and Joey Votto. That might be a good one. I like that. What do you think, Joey, you think of me? Think he'll like me? What do you think? Think he'll get me?
I think it'll be complete. I think it'll stone face you all throughout dinner.
It will, right?
I think I might get.
I'll loosen him up.
Or, yeah.
All right, buddy.
Italian wine.
All right, we'll see you guys soon. Have a good break. Nick and Chris, we're out.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.